Greg, for to be here this morning, we should thank God that we can come and worship together, learn His will, and do the things that He's taught us to do. We just should be thankful that we even have a building. You look at those people up in Indiana, they show that town, that's 100-something-year-old church, gone. Houses, all of them, just gone. And I don't call that luck, I call it a blessing from God that it wasn't here. And we should be so thankful. Even though we just got a lot of rain, we didn't get that devastation wiped out that whole town. It's gone. I wonder even where the people that lived there, where did they go? Because there were several of them. And it's had to go to another town somewhere because there was nowhere to stay. So we thank God that we were blessed. You know, sometimes you wonder about what to talk about, what to say, different audiences or different ways, of course. But about 3 weeks ago, I had a dream. And it was just as real as I'm standing here today. I was laying there in the bed and it had a heater on. It seemed like it was getting awful hot. So I got up and went over and cut the heater off. Well, instead of going off, it went to going redder and redder. Then all of a sudden, my bed and all that was gone. And there's a bunch of other people in there. And that thing was just getting hot. I said, what's going on? So then the door opened up and the voice from in there said to one of the other people, said, John, come in here. They went in and the door shut and I couldn't see what was going on. I hear something, but I didn't know what was going on, but I didn't know it was hot. And they said, Bob, come in here. Directly he went in. And then another one was called, and another one. And then he said, Bill, come in here. I said, oh me. So I went in there. There was flames everywhere. And there was the devil. Sitting there. He said, you know, you sang my song at church. Even though you thought you were singing to God, you were singing to me because I was your God. And of course, he was talking about the song, Prepare to Meet Thy God, with a liturgy. And I'm afraid if we look through the lesson, we'll see we're not careful, that's what one was preparing to meet. Of course, the devil's not going to be the judge. God's going to do that. In my dream, he was the judge, and he told me I was lost. And the floor opened up, and I went into oblivion in the hot, where it never cools. Of course, I call it a dream. They told me it was a nightmare. That's what they said, etc. I said, that's a nightmare. And it was, because I woke up with a start. That scared me to death. So that's where this lesson came from. You find the scripture over the Old Testament in Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare. Those are powerful words. We all know what prepare means. We prepare to come to church today. We got ready. We shaved, we took a bath, we combed our hair, we dressed. We got prepared. that we prepare to come to the meeting. And then, of course, we should have come prepared and prepared to meet God. Because He's here, if we're doing it. Prepare to meet thy God. This is a warning for all people, not just Christians, not just non-Christians, but for all of us. We've got to be doing something, preparing. It's always relevant. It never changes. We've got to just keep on. We can't be baptized to sit out on the bench and that's it. We saved, that's it. So it's always there. We've got to be prepared. And one thing, this is a warning that's never going to be canceled. It's never going to be put away. It's always going to be there as long as the church is here. It's a warning. Why is it so important? Because we've got to answer to the God in heaven. We must meet God. You know, God doesn't give an empty warning. He means what He says. And He warns us. We know. We know from the Scriptures what He means. We know we got to be ready. We've got to prepare. Because we know in Hebrews 9 and 27 says, after death, the judgment. It's going to happen. To every one of us, we're going to have to give an account of ourselves. We're just going to be standing there before God. And this is an appointment we're not going to miss. We're going to have that appointment with God. Every one of us. Look over Romans chapter 14 to verse 12. Well, we can read 11 and 12. It says, "For it is written, as I have lived, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." That's not my commandment. That's what God says. We're going to be there, and we're going to have to face it. And we're going to bow down to Him. We're not going to be late. We're going to be right on time. You know, a lot of times we're late for appointments. But you're not going to be late for that appointment. There's nothing you're going to be able to do to change it. We may think our doctor appointment is important. We may think our business appointment is important. But this is our most important appointment. It's the greatest appointment we'll ever have. And we're all going to have to fear. Let's look at Revelation verse chapter 20. verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're going to face that one day. We're either going to the right or we're going to the left. We're going to heaven or we're going where the devil is, in hell. And that's our appointment. We can't escape it. And we must. It's not, well, I might, and well, I'll do a little. We must prepare to be God. God doesn't command things that's unnecessary. This is necessary. This is necessary to each one of us. A lot of times, a lot of people say, well, I'm ready. They feel, well, you're talking, well, I'm ready. Are you prepared? Are you sure? Well, I'll tell you, I was born into a Christian family. I'm prepared. I know. We went to church. Mom and Daddy took me to church and all this kind of things. I'm in a Christian family. What does that to do with anything? If we say, well, I was born in a civilized nation, well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. That doesn't prepare us to meet God. There's a lot of times we'll say, well, I've been baptized into the church. Well, that starts your preparation. That's the necessary thing to become a Christian. That makes us a member of the church. But does that prepare us to meet God? What do? Do we study? Do we pray? We say, well, I live an upright life. I'm doing pretty good. We've got to be preparing. We've got to be visiting the sick, doing the things that a lot of people call the works, and we're going to be saved by those works according to the word that I just read in Revelation 20. We've got to be ready to meet God. None of these things prepare us for that meeting. It starts our preparation, but we've got to keep growing as Christians. We've got things to do. You know, the Bible has a lot of examples of unprepared people. Of course, we find Adam and Eve, the first sin, was they committed sin. Hiding from God, ashamed of what they had done. And they weren't prepared to meet God. Again, in the Old Testament, we find in Daniel chapter 5, the story of Belshazzar, the king. He had to have a great feast of thousands of people. The Lord's. They drank wine before the thousands. And he commanded that they go and get the gold and silver vessel from the tabernacle. Take them out and drink the wine out of these things. To get them that we can drink it, and that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Chapter 5 and verse 2 of Daniel. And they brought those vessels out of the temple of God. And they drank from them. He thought he was pretty good. He thought he had it made. But then something happened. Look at verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And we just saw the hand writing on the wall. The old king kind of sobered up then. He got to looking, well, what's going on here? In verse 6, he said, then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. So was it scary? Just like it scared you and me. We all of a sudden saw a hand writing on the wall. Well, then the king, he cried aloud, wanted to know what to do. What was this all about? He called the astrologers, he called the soothsayers, he called everybody. Anybody he could think of. And promised some great things if they could tell him what it said. What it said, what it said. They couldn't figure it out. All of them. But there was one person. And finally Belshazzar called upon Daniel. And he told him the thing that he would give him if he could read that handwriting. Of course, Belshazzar might have wished he hadn't read it, but he was able to read it. And the writing that was written was many, many tackled up for sin. This is the interpretation of things. Daniel said, many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art waiting about and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. For then he commanded, Belshazzar, he commanded that Daniel receive the gold and the scarlet and all that. In verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the county, enslaved, just as the hand had written. It happened. He was unprepared to meet God. He was living a sinful life. And then in the New Testament, the great example we find is Saul. He was going about doing what he thought was good. What he thought was preparing him to meet God, but it wasn't. It was preparing him to be lost. There he was on the road to Damascus. Going to kill more Christians. But he wasn't preparing to meet God. Of course, Jesus appeared to him. He was blinded and went into the city. And then he was told what to do. And he went about doing the things that he should. And he became Paul, preaching the word, preparing to meet God, and preparing others to meet God. Me and you can prepare to meet God. God doesn't command the impossible. We can all be prepared. But are we? Jesus has prepared the way. God has prepared the way to be right with Him. And we know Jesus died to pay for our sins. We should be so thankful. We read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then of course he rose from the grave and he offered salvation. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He arose offering us his salvation. And we believe, and we confess, and we're baptized and we wash away our sins. And we prepare to meet him by our faith. We have faith in him. We believe that there is a heaven. We believe that we should follow the word of God and do what he's taught us to do. So we should be prepared and be ready. We as Christians, if we kind of start wavering away, thank God he's given us a way to go. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Of course, he's talking to Christians there. He'll forgive those sins if we change our life and start preparing to meet him again. Just like the prodigal who went away from home, wasted all his things, and he came back. The father would wait for him. He was looking for him. Well, that's just like us. If we get away from God, God waits for us to come back. That's the reason he gave Jesus. That's the reason we have the blood. We confess these sins, it brings forgiveness. Then we can start more preparation. We can prepare. That's the good news. We can be ready. We won't have to count on our mamas and daddies. We won't have to count on anything, but we being Christians, being prepared, doing the things that the Word of God tells us to do. So each one of us need to look in the mirror and say, what have I done to prepare? What am I doing now to prepare? It never ends. We're always growing as Christians, or we're falling away, becoming sinners. He had such great love for us. His Son died on that cross. And the great thing about it, we can come to him with all our sins. Man may not accept us, but God will accept us. If we come and we confess these sins, we accept Jesus' forgiveness, and we can be welcomed back into the flock. So we all ought to have that on our minds. I need to be prepared. Sitting there and watching that TV and some of those things that are all not preparing. If anything, it's preparing us for the other way. I'm guilty. You're probably guilty of sitting there wasting my time watching these so-called movies that we know are not real. And all the stuff, the violence, the sex, and all the things. We should just turn our back on each other. That TV's got a knob, and it says off. We all need to think about that. cut it off and go visit somebody, study the Word, pray, do something to prepare our minds and our hearts to God and be prepared to meet Him. Because those things are not going to pass. So perhaps there's somebody else that has not become a Christian, hadn't even started preparation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Then we start preparing. We don't just sit there, but we get prepared. So sometimes we stumble, we fall. God says, like I said, we can have forgiveness. So if somebody's subject to his calling, that's come forward.